Lord, you are worthy of all glory, all honor, and all praise. You are a God all by yourself. In you is life, and the life is the light of men. Lord, let us not choose darkness, but choose the light. Choose you. Let's not listen to the lies of the deceiver, who has us looking to creation rather than the Creator. Father, you are worthy of all glory, all honor, and all praise. And we love you. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. What a glorious day. Amen. Man. Love this time of year. So it used to be, you could see people around a town square doing something like this. They'd be looking up. You'd see them winding and looking and resetting. Back before all of our watches used batteries, they used springs. And you'd have to wind your pocket watch up. You'd have to wind that spring up. But if you didn't wind it up often enough, that spring would eventually lose all of its tension and you would lose all your time. And so you would have in the city square, typically, there would be a clock somewhere on the city square. And you would see people resetting their pocket watch to the standard. Everybody with me? Sometimes maybe we don't have a timepiece. Of course, everybody now has their cell phone that keeps perfect time. But maybe you have to say, what time is it? Well, it feels like it's such and such time. If I were to ask you, what direction is north? Now, it's easy where we sit right here. Let's just try it real quick. What direction is north? Everybody point. If you can't raise your hand in worship, raise your hand and point direction north. It's pretty easy on this hill. That's north. But if we were to try and fine-tune it, well, what is true north? And then we're trying to fine-tune with our finger. Well, that feels like north. That it feels like it's noon. It feels, well, in the book of Judges, it said there was no king in those days and everyone did what was right in their own eyes because there was no standard. In this world, in society as we know it, oftentimes people don't recognize that there's a standard. There's a standard to truth. And oftentimes people live by what feels right. It feels right. But there actually is a standard. And the God of the universe, the God of heaven and earth, the God who created all, also gave us his truth. Amen? And truth doesn't change by your feelings. It's the standard. And we need to be adjusting ourselves to it. Amen? Adjust ourselves to the standard. Don't be led by your feelings. Don't follow your heart. Direct your heart. Bible says the heart is deceitful. You don't even know your own heart. But you don't follow it. You direct it. Amen? You direct it back to its creator. I want to look at Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. There's a lot of folks that are hurting and struggling because the deceiver is manipulating you, manipulating them, manipulating it because the liar, the deceiver, he will fool you with your own feelings. So you can't trust those things. Everybody got that right? You can't trust your feelings. I know the world might tell you that that's the only thing you could trust. The world lies because they don't know the truth. You can't trust your own feelings. There is a spiritual entity that will manipulate your feelings in order to destroy you. That's the fact. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, we have God, this is the creation account. We're going all the way back to the beginning. And in this creation account, it tells us that God created by speaking, and then every day he'd say, it's good. And then on this day of creation, he says, verse 26, then God said, let us, speaking of the Trinity, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, let us make man in our image. Everybody say image. In other words, looks like. Everybody got that? let us make man in our image that we look like God. And let's keep going. Let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Everybody say likeness. Image looks like. Likeness is like. Everybody got that? Two different things. Image looks like. Likeness is like. Let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea. Amen. Hallelujah. Over the birds of the air. Oh, it's getting gooder. Over the cattle, that'd also be deer. Over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion. I mean, it's twice, over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. God said, see, I have given you every herb that yields seed, which is in the face of all the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed to you, it shall be for food. God says, it's all yours. I'm giving all this to you. Also to every beast of the field, to beast of the earth, to every bird of the air, to everything that creeps on the earth in which there is life, I've given every green herb for food. And it was so. Then God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. Amen. Very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day. I will just creep for one verse into chapter 2. Thus the heavens and the earth. Y'all remember this? He made the heavens and the earth. Thus the heavens and the earth. Thus the heavens and the earth and all of the host of them were finished. Is it? So let's go back to the origins. Image looks like, likeness is like. We're going to see some things over and over again in the scriptures. I'm just scratching the surface on some of these phrases like heaven and earth and image of God. It's over and over through the scriptures. But I want to point out some things. I want you to notice these things. That first of all, there is order. Order. There is order. And everything with the kingdom of God is in order. I mean, it is a kingdom principle. Please understand, Satan thrives in chaos, but the kingdom functions in order. And there is order. And what was the order? Well, in Genesis chapter 1, it gives us an overview of creation. He said he made male and female. Chapter 2, it kind of goes into how he made male and female. And with all of the other creation, he spoke those things into existence. But when he made man, he put his hands in the dirt and formed man. And then we'll look at chapter 2, verse 7 in just a second. And it says he breathed into man. But what you're seeing is that there is order in that he created man and gave him directions. That's what we saw in chapter 1. He created man and said, this is what you are going to be about, Mr. Man. You're going to rule over all of this. I made it for you. I'm giving it to you. And you have the authority over it. Now, Mr. Man, when Mrs. Woman comes along, you're going to lead your family well. This is the order. Okay? Everybody tracking yet? All right. So there is order. God gave Adam the instructions. Now, the number two things I want to point out is there is gender. There's gender. You don't have to go by your feelings. We can go by the standard. Okay? There's gender. I want you to look at it. It says in verse... Oh, it's a big book. 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. There's gender. We'll see in chapter 2, there's sexuality. These things are good and they're right and they're of God in their proper order. Amen? So with gender and sexuality, I feel like it's pretty easy. preacher friend of mine, he says, look down, check your plumbing, look up, see who's coming. Pretty easy. Pretty easy. I feel like it's pretty easy. But in the very rare incident that you can't do that, you can send blood to a doctor and they can immediately come back and say male or female. Only two. That's it. Even without seeing you, they could take your blood and say, this chromosome says male, these chromosomes says female. But you don't have to go by your feelings. You don't even have to go by that. You can go by the scriptures that God says there's two, male and female. He created them. And then on chapter 2, he says he was finished creating. Chapter 2, verse 1. That's it. And so that's where we stand, understanding that gender is of God, and it's pretty easy. However, please hear me on this. There are people who are very, very wounded and very, very deceived, and they don't understand these things. I met a man 3 weeks ago in Washington, D.C. His name was Walt. Walt is 80 years old. At the age of 5, Walt started cross-dressing. You'd say, how does a 5-year-old start cross-dressing? I'll come back around. He then got involved in a homosexual lifestyle. And now I need you to hear this. He's 80 years old today. At the age of 35, he had a sex change. You say, I mean, I'm not real good at math. I think that's 45 years ago. Didn't know they did that. 45 years ago, he received a sex change, started taking hormone treatments. He's got areas in his life that will never be recovered apart from a miracle of God. But even all of those things, by following his feelings, he was more miserable than ever before and started seeking God. He went to one church. That church says, we don't want your type here. And he went on. He went to another church. And that church, that pastor pulled him alongside and said, look, I understand your struggle. I want to walk with you through this. And because of that man, Walt came to know Jesus. Amen. Now, he wasn't called Walt at the time. I don't remember what his name was, but he ended up getting a reversal. Don't know how they do this. 45 years ago, did the reversal, and now Walt is a minister of Jesus Christ, traveling around telling people. Amen. And the fulfillment that he could not find in following his feelings, he has now found in Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. Now, I said I'd come back around to it. Why in the world, what kind of a parent would let their child cross-dress at the age of 5? See, that was the problem. He said, I never wanted to be homosexual. I just wanted the abuse to stop. And it worked. I don't know if you caught that. The sexual abuse of a child. The sexual abuse of a child caused the woundedness in him that became an open door for the enemy come in to deceive him. And Satan don't mind taking out babies. Y'all know what I'm talking about? He don't mind. He does not play fair. But God changed that man's story. Amen. Amen. So, things I want to point out from Genesis chapter 1, there is order. I point this out because everything in the kingdom has order, and oftentimes I hear people say, and I've heard this many, many times, and it's almost true, do you know what Satan did first? What did Satan do first to bring down mankind? What did Satan do first? They say, well, he caused man to question the word of God. That's pretty good. Just not completely right. That's not the first thing Satan did. The first thing Satan did was he got out of order. Don't know if you caught that. If you see it in chapter 2, Satan goes to Eve. Who was the instruction given to? Adam. God gave the instructions to Adam, and the charge was for him to lead his family well. Satan goes to Eve, and the next thing you know, she's leading the family. Got things out of order. Satan recognized that if he can get things out of order, he can manipulate the situation. And he always does. I'm preaching better than y'all talking to me, buddy. This is all kingdom. Everything about kingdom is order. What you also notice in chapter 2 is that he created marriage. He created marriage. He brought those two together. Why? Because marriage is a beautiful and a wonderful thing. And it is the safe haven. It is the safe haven and the closest relationship for two individuals to live in. And it is the proper boundaries for sexual relationship, which is going back to Genesis chapter 1 where he said, be fruitful and multiply. It is the proper boundaries to do that. It is a safe place to do that. Why? Because that's God, and he is good, and everything that he does is right and very good and a safe place. And I thank God that it's not just for procreation but recreation, but we'll move on. And so he creates order, gender, marriage, and I know that you know this, but that is the foundation of humanity and the very things that Satan attacks today. Something is, we used to never think of this as being an issue. I didn't, but it actually goes back a long, long time, this mixing of genders. Mixing of genders, it's been around a long time. But God already had the standard. I wish we would take our little heart and look up at the standard and say, I need to adjust me to that. Amen. So when we do, when we adjust me to that, not try to adjust this to me. Y'all got that? When I'm adjusting me to the standard rather than try to tweak this to fit me. No, my feelings will lie to me. I know it happens weekly, sometimes daily. But Satan wants to attack the foundations of humanity, because if you take out the foundation of something, what's sitting on it falls. And that's exactly what Satan wants to do. So let's go back to this being made in the image and likeness. If you looked at chapter 1, verse 26, let us make man in our image and according to our likeness. Those two separate things. I want you to look with me to chapter 5, verse 1. This is the book of the genealogy of Adam in the day that God created him. He made him in the likeness of God. Remember, image looks like God, likeness is like God. Image looks like God, likeness is like God. Man was created in the likeness of God. Look at chapter 9, verse 6. Again, just scratching the surface on touching a few of these verses. Whoever sheds man's blood, by man his blood shall be shed. For in the image of God he made man. Image of God. Likeness and image. You see these over and over in the scriptures. And by the way, it's shown here that man is a different kind of creature. And there's different reward and different repercussions when it comes to man, because the image of God is on man. Everybody with me? Everybody tracking? So as God looked at creation, he said, it's very good. I want to go back to Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. I'm reading from the New King James. It says it like this. And man became a living being. In the King James, it says it like this. And man became a living soul. I want to point out the three parts of a person. Three parts of a person. I teach on this often, but not often on a Sunday morning. Most of you don't come on a Wednesday night when I often teach this. But maybe you'll get your heart right and fix that. So I want to talk about three parts of a person. You have a body. Your body has senses: taste, touch, smell, sight, and sound. That's the five senses. You have a body. You are not a body. When your body dies, you continue to live on. Everybody with me? You have it for a season. You are a soul. Soul has three parts. The soul is the intellect, the emotions, and the will. Intellectually, emotional, and volitional. That is your soul. That's who you really are. And then there's the spirit. The body is the center of world consciousness. The soul is the center of self-consciousness. The spirit is the center of God consciousness. When we're born in our sin nature, because Satan deceived Eve, and Adam and Eve sinned, and we failed, and now we inherited that sin nature, we are spiritually dead until we're born again. Amen? And when you're born again, you become spiritually alive. You get a new nature. Praise God. But that's the three parts: body, soul, spirit. Let's talk about walking in the flesh and walking in the spirit. To walk in the flesh, remember, you have a body, you are a soul. Your soul is your emotions and your intellect and your emotions and your will. To walk in the flesh is to live in these two. Are you with me? Letting your body influence your mind. That's walking in the flesh. To walk in the spirit is these two. You with me? I just need you to catch it. I know it's kind of, some. I remember when it was new to me, and man, my gears were turning and people were smelling smoke because I was blowing my mind. To walk in the flesh is to live under the impulse of the body, allowing my soul to be moved by that. And again, I told you, you can't trust this. But to walk in the spirit is to allow my spirit, which is a changed being within me, under the influence of Jesus, to influence my mind, my emotions, and my will. Amen? And here's what Galatians says: walk in the spirit, and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. This is flesh. This is spirit. I don't need to live on defense. I can live on offense. Amen? I don't need to live constantly trying to go back and need to adjust again every day. No, I'm just going to walk in the spirit and let the Holy Spirit direct my spirit in the ways of God. Amen? There's the difference. There's the difference. And so to walk in the flesh is so tricky, because there's a society that's under the influence of Satan that is, man, this, when I kick it in neutral, this is the direction I go. Are y'all with me? Some of y'all never driven a standard. When I just kick it in neutral, I drift this way. But I have to drive toward God by walking in the Spirit. And when I do, it says in Galatians, I won't fulfill. Not to say that I won't be tempted. Did y'all catch that? What is that? Galatians chapter 5. Y'all got that? I won't fulfill. You see it? Temptation is going to happen whether you're over here or whether you're over there. But you're going to get took over here. Over here, you do not have to fulfill. Amen? So that's why I'm trying to constantly start my morning off on offense. I need to start my morning off over here. I need to be walking in the Spirit, because over here, I'm toast. I'm toast. I'm too fleshly strong. Did y'all catch that? Didn't say I was weak. My flesh is too strong. That's why I often have to fast to get this back into weakness so I can get this back strong. Amen. Oh, I'm giving you pearls today. My goodness. I just want to point out, God's good, and he made you, and he made you good. What he did, he said, this is very good. Satan tried to remake you bad. He deceived, he twisted, got things out of order. And now we begin looking at our own bodies and saying, I don't feel right about this. And go looking at the world, comparing, and say, I don't feel right about this. See, Satan wants you to look outside of the Creator, where actual fulfillment comes from. He wants you to look away from the Creator and look at everything else. I didn't give you this passage scripture, sister, but Romans chapter 1, I think, is just so fitting for this message. Romans chapter 1. I got time, right? Oh, yeah. Y'all got all the time in the world. We start early so I can preach long. Amen. Hallelujah. Chapter 1, verse 18, the book of Romans. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifest in them. For God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen. I love looking across that valley. I love looking across that valley. Certain times of the day, you'll see deer out there morning and evening. We got a bird's eye view, literally, of creation. And God said, nobody that is has some spiritual understanding looks at creation and wonders if there was a creator. I never looked at a painting and wondered if there was a painter. I knew there was. I never looked at a sculpture and wondered if there was a sculptor. I knew there was. It was the testimony of that person. And I look at that and it's a testimony to the person of God. His creativity, his generosity, there's so many attributes of God seen in creation. And we as a church are like no other church I know, we get to look at it right in the worship service. Amen? I know, and by the way, some of you might be wondering why this first screen is pulled closed. I was wondering the same thing. I just figured it out. The people who pulled that closed know that I cannot tell if a deer is on the other side of that screen. It's just distorted a little bit. Trying to help me out like blinders. But we as a church, we get to look at creation. And that's, I'm closest to God in creation. I could look at that, and the scripture says, we ought to be able to look at that and say, there's a creator. But he goes on to say, some don't. Says the invisible attributes of God are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Everybody say without excuse. That's a scary phrase, isn't it? Verse 21, because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful. I feel a Thanksgiving sermon coming. But became futile in their thoughts. And their foolish hearts, do y'all see it? I hope you see it. What is the soul? It's the intellect, the emotions, and the will. And do you see this passage of scripture? They became futile in their intellect and in their emotions, they were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, the birds and the four-footed animals and creeping things. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness and the lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them up. What a scary phrase. To vile passions, for even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another. Men with men committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of the error which was due. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting. You look at that and say, man, that sounds like cruelty. That sounds like cruelty from God, that he gave them over. Well, we know that it's not. It's actually his grace. It tells us in the book of 1 Corinthians, there was a man living just like that. And God inspired Paul to say, hand him over to Satan for a season, that his flesh might be experienced exactly what Romans said, destroyed, so that his soul might be saved. Do you see that? God says, if you want to live in sin, I'll let you so that you can experience the side effects of sin. And when you experience the side effects of sin, you're going to start looking around for some relief, and here I am. Amen? Amen? He is the remedy. Verse 28, did I read this already? And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to debased mind to do those things which are not fitting. And then it gives you a list of those things. By the way, I dare every one of you to read that and try and find yourself in there. We all are in the list. Do you see? We're in the list. Verse 32, who knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. Man, wasn't even planning on going there. But you do know that in your sin, you are deserving of death, right? Ain't it so good to know there's a Savior? And it's so good to know that he washes away all the sin and all the side effects when we continue over here on this side. That we would walk in the Spirit
not fulfill the lust of the flesh. I just want to touch on a passage of scripture that many of you know. It's Philippians 4:13. Y'all know that verse of scripture? I can do through Christ who... Do you know the context of that scripture? The context of that scripture was contentment. Contentment. I know we like to, man, get our football teams fired up. You can do all things through Christ. We get people ambitious, say, you can do all things through Christ. It's true in any way that you look at it, you can do all things in Christ. But the context of that verse of scripture was contentment. He says, I've done without, and I had to learn to be content doing without. And he said, I was rich, and I had everything, and I had to learn to be content. I've often noticed that it's the poor person that's more content than the rich person. And Paul said, I learned to be content. I want to tell you something. We need to look at what God has blessed us with and decide in our heart, I'm going to be content. Man, it would serve us. Godliness with contentment is great gain. That's what the Bible says. But you know what? I'm not just content being content. I'm not content just being content. I want to be filled with joy. Amen. I want to be filled with joy. I'm wrapping it up. Praise team, come on up. I want to be filled with joy. And Jesus tells us how that we can be filled with joy. He said, abide, John chapter 15, abide in my love. What does he mean by that? You just focus on the fact that I love you so much. You just continue to remind yourself that I love you so much. And when you continue to remind yourself that God loves you, just as Tara shared with us earlier, and Brother Jeff shared earlier than that, that he loves you as much as he loves Jesus. Mind blowing. Help me with a verse. John 17:21, somewhere like that. That's a good one. Jesus is praying to the Father, and he said, I pray for them that they would know that you love them as much as you love me. Did you know God loves you, child of God, who's no longer a slave to fear? Did you know that God loves you as much as he loves Jesus? First time I read that in the New Living Translation, it blew my mind because it said it just like that, that God loves you just as much as he loves Jesus. I said, you cannot love me like that. I wrestled with that for 3 days. God, you cannot love me like that. Jesus is sinless, and I know me. And you can't love me like that. Thing with God is you don't get to tell him what he don't get to do. He just said, I do. Jesus said, if we abide in his love, it will affect how we live. And it will fill us with his joy. Amen. Oh, how he loves us. It's not based on if you deserve it or not. It's that amazing grace. Amen. If you came here today and you've been struggling with feelings, and this gender and sexuality business ain't no joke to you because you've been going to war every day over it, please know that there's a God who designed you. And that same God who designed you desires you in the exact same way he designed you. He loves you. And he wants you to live in his love. You will be transformed by it. Stand with me as we have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you so much for your loving kindness, your goodness. We thank you so much that you are the God of heaven and earth. And you just said that heaven and earth were good. But then when you created man,
joined them together. You said, this is very good. Thank you, God. Help us to see our value in you. Thank you, God. We love you too. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I want to read one last thing. I just about to forget. The basic needs of humanity are to belong and be loved. But you don't have to feel your way through it to find your way through it. The God who designed you desires you, and your fulfillment is found in Him. Amen.